The scripture will be 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58. This morning we had a message on deception, and I'd like to give you a little story. It was a coincidence, I think. A friend of mine sent me an email today with this little story on. I think it fits in with what we heard this morning. And you might have heard this before, I don't know. But the light turned yellow at the intersection in front of a man. And I have to read this so I don't miss any of the details. And he did the right thing. He stopped at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman behind him was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. As she was still ranting, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a cell. After a couple hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting. Take notice to what happened here. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake." He said, "You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn and cursing at the guy in front of you. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I thought you had stolen the car." And that may be kind of funny, but it's a lesson there that we practice what we profess. And I think that fit in with our message this morning on deception. We have a little different subject, I believe, according to what Merle gave me to read. Something to look forward to, and especially in verse 52. Reading from verse 51 to the end. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?' The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's kneel for prayer.
We bring you greetings this evening in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. I appreciated Brother Donald's prayer. I'd ask you to continue to pray for me tonight. It's clear different for me now since Patsy's not with me. I can always depend on her praying for me and standing by faithfully. And I hope she's up there and can see me tonight in my need. So continue to pray that God's will be done. Most of us here this evening remember 911. We also remember when the snipers were down around Washington and people were being shot. We remember some of the details of that. It was an editorial in the Kansas City Star newspaper. It said, "One reason Americans are so angry at the violent snipers who terrorized the Washington area is that, like 9-1-1, they forced us to think about the one subject we most wish to avoid, and that subject is death. Not just death in a general way, but being shot at a school, at a gas pump, or a parking lot, and your lifeblood flowing away at that moment. You know, American culture evades the topic of death. Everything about the way we live, including, oddly enough, the deadly violence of our entertainment, causes many people to dance around death, pretending it's an illusion. It is, of course, possible to be obsessed with death. Obsession, too, is unhealthy. But most American people are far from that. Most don't want to think about death at all. The snipers, whatever their crazy thinking was, brought death out of the closet. We hoped we would get back after 9/11, but we were naive. The snipers petrified us because they compelled us to face our death once more. The 9/11 and the murders committed by the DC snipers, however, were unexpected. They exploded on us, catching us unprepared. Why does this surprise us? The Roman philosopher understood about 2,000 years ago when he wrote, "It is uncertain in what place death may await thee, therefore expect it in any place." But long before that, Job, in the book of Job, actually described humans as foam on the surface of the water. Still, we don't expect death. It's not really. It should happen to someone else, but not me, especially the kind of shot in the dark, no warning death the DC sniper dreamed up. The idea that we can live for 80 years or more, give or take, makes such death seem so scary to us, so outrageous. It is outrageous, it's evil. But on the day we were born, not one of us were in a position to promise us even an hour of life. Every hour after our birth has been a gift of grace, pure grace. As most of you know, I lived within 3/4 of a mile of a cemetery, at Mumbert's Cemetery. And years ago, I used to jog back through, and many times I'd walk through that cemetery. That may seem odd to some of you, but it spoke to my heart. I had memories as I walked through the cemetery, observing and having memories of those who have died. There were some weather-beaten markers there that were nearly 200 years old. And I often thought, here rests the body of a person who lived in these hills and valleys nearly 200 years ago. But today, their body is still and the voice is quiet. I may walk a little further and see another marker of a name that was familiar, a person I knew in my lifetime. And it seemed the most important things to them was having a good time in life, making money, having a lot of possessions. But in a second, those things were gone from them. I walked on, there was another marker. Maybe a personal friend, maybe a brother in the Lord, maybe a brother-in-law, who maybe just had a small amount of money or possessions, but one who lived for the Lord. A loved one that I laughed with, I prayed with, I cried with, but today that physical body is still, and his physical or her physical lips are quiet. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck that which is planted. Psalm 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. In James 4 and verse 14, whereas you know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It tells about 30 million people die each year. One person dies every second, about. Every time the clock ticks, someone dies. 60 die about every minute. 3,600 every hour. 86,400 die every day. And most of them who have died, haven't been thinking about death any more than we have. God has taken people around you and around me, and yet our heart is still beating. But one day, my heart's going to stop beating. My faithful knees will buckle under my body. The hearse will back up to my door. The undertaker will notify the newspaper, and my name will appear on obituary column. Hebrews 9:27, and as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Physical death is not a mere happening, but let's remember it's an appointment we must all keep because the curse of sin is on these bodies of ours. Bible Health has an article written that Harold has written. We have an appointment with death. Do you believe that you will die? Remember that death is as certain as life, and all of us will meet God at death unless we meet him in the rapture. Secondly, what is your attitude about death? Mr. Russell, an atheist who received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1950, said shortly before his death in 1970, there is darkness without, and when I die, there will be darkness within. So many people feel that way about life and death. Life is a sad, dark road, and death ends it all. Satan has blinded people's eyes, and they feel the best way to get away from their problems in life is to take your life in your own hands. And that's why about 25,000 plus Americans kill themselves every year. Two professors at the University of Florida made a study and discovered that 4 million Americans have attempted suicide, a land of plenty that we live in, but lacking a faith in loving God, and were deceived into thinking that death ends it all. What does God say? In Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The scripture makes it very, very plain. There's two places, two destinations. Ecclesiastes 12:7, Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. There's all types of false teachings out there. We need to be aware of them. The Jehovah's Witness, for instance, teach that when you die, you just go out of existence. That's the end. The Mormons, if you go to hell, you can work your way out in time. Many who in the past expressed their disbelief in God and hell changed their mind at death. Voltaire, the famous infidel who spent most of his life fighting Christianity, cried out with his dying breath, I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. St. Thomas Scott, Counselor of England. Until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the judge judgment of the Almighty. I read the true testimony of a man who had once accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But because of temptations in his life, he turned away from God and he lived for self and for the devil. He talked to one of his friends. He said, "Well, I have a clear mind. I want to tell you something." He said, "I wish the flight of years would turn backward, but it's too late, too late. They would never open the gate to such as me. There was a time in my life when I loved God, but later I spent my time in riotous living. And now the door is shut. I am lost." The very next morning, a young man, his face became purple. His eyes were filled with sorrow, terror. He fell back on his bed, cursing everyone around him. And with a loud cry of sorrow, he cried, "Lost, lost," and he died. Death is a horrible experience without the Lord. But death does not end at all. What is your attitude about death? Let's remember there are some things that death is not. Some people say it is, but it's not. Death is not rebirth into another life form, coming up in some other way. It's not an unconscious state of the fold. It's not the doorway entered into eternal bliss for everyone. I remember when I worked at the store. I met a lot of people in there, knew a lot of people. And it seemed as though many people thought was someone that you knew. You knew their lifestyle. You knew if they lived for themselves or for God, for the devil. But it always seemed that when death came, it was all excused. Everyone's going to heaven. That's from the pit. Another false teaching is it's the end of our existence. That brings us to the third question. Are you ready to die? God speaks about death and the Christian. Just listen to these promises. They thrill me. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I hope each one of us can say that tonight from our heart, bottom of our heart. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Wonderful promises that God has given, and we can depend on God. Are you ready to die? You know, there are conditions that we need to make in order to be ready to die. And we say, well, most of us here tonight are Christians, but how many of us are too involved with the things and the pleasures of this world and not fully committed to God? Where God overlooked those things, we need to take inventory from his word. First of all, I'd just like to reinstate some of our convictions and our abilities as a church. It's so important we dare some play games with God, because we're speaking about eternity, about heaven, and about hell. We need to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he brought from heaven a saving gospel. That needs to be real in our life, and it needs to show by the way we live. We must repent of every sin and renounce Satan with all his pernicious ways, all his sinful ways, and the sinful pleasures of the world. In Acts 2, when Peter preached that great sermon, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For a promise is given unto you and to your children and to all that are far off," that's us, "even as many as the Lord our God shall call." In 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, he that doeth the will of God, abideth forever." We need a covenant with God in Christian baptism to take Jesus as the master of our life and live according to his will. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Do you really believe tonight that Jesus Christ took your place on Calvary? That he suffered that agony and pain. His Father turned his back on him. What a Savior. If you knew that July the 19th, 2015, would be carved on your tombstone this coming week, would your lifestyle change tonight? Sobering thought. If the Lord tarries, it'll be carved on one of these days. Numbers 23 and verse 10. "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." Loved ones, it's important where we start out, but it's more important where we end, if we've been faithful. If we want to die the death of the righteous, we need to live the life of the righteous. Hebrews 11:5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God." Loved ones, tonight, are you pleasing God with the way you're living, the way I'm living? Am I at peace with everyone as far as possible? Do I daily confess my sins and turn away from them? Do I daily seek to obey the teachings of God's holy word because of my love for him? One thing troubles me sometimes. I think maybe I don't love the Lord enough. And I pray that he'd help me to do that. I want to glorify his name. Are we too busy to take time to enjoy our companion and our children? How serious are we about their relationship with God? We let them get involved in things that tear them down spiritually? How faithful are we in that? Let's remember, the only thing we can take to heaven is our children. It's a lot of responsibility laid on us, especially fathers. A group of students were studying geography, and they were talking about the wonders of the world. And they were asked what they considered the present seven wonders of the world. And here were some things that they wrote down. Egypt's Great Pyramids, the Grand Canyon, Panama Canal, Empire State Building, China's Great Wall, Illinois. The teacher noticed that there was a girl who was very quiet. She didn't hand her paper in. She asked the girl if she was having trouble with her list, and she said a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there were so many. And the teacher replied, well, tell us what you have. The girl hesitated and then read, I think the seven wonders of the world are to touch, to taste, to see, to hear, to feel, to laugh, and to love. You know, as far as it's easy for us to look at what has been accomplished by man as wonders of the world, but forget the many little simple blessings that God has blessed us with that we take for granted. My prayer tonight is one thing, that each one of us here tonight would see the number one wonder of this world, a Savior who gave his life that we can have eternal life. That's a wonder I can't comprehend in my little mind. The greatest wonder of all wonders. Loved ones, we're living in the countdown. We may have 7 years, 7 days, 7 hours, maybe only 7 minutes to live. Are we ready for death? Are we ready to stand before the Lord? Need to remember there's only two ways to die. We can die like a Christian, or we can die like a sinner. We can die in peace, or we can die in torment. I just praise the Lord for many precious memories that I have, and one of those was when Patsy was called home, she went so peacefully. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive shall be called up to the Lord in the meeting in the air. Loved ones, that's going to be glory. Really glory. I'd like to share a true story. It was told about a man in the South. He was the only white person. He was buried in a black man's cemetery. It was supposed to be just for black people. His mother had died when he was just a baby, and his father was never married again. And he hired a black lady named Manley to help raise his son. She was a Christian, and she took her task seriously. Seldom had a motherless boy received such warm felt attention. One of the earliest memories was of her bending over him in his upstairs bedroom and softly saying, "Wake up, my boy. Mornings are coming." So years passed. This devoted woman continued to serve as his substitute mother. The young man went away in college. He did well in business. But while he was at college, he'd come home on the weekends. And his substitute mother would climb the stairs again, more slowly than now, and called him the same loving way. "Wake up, my boy. Mornings are coming." And one day he received a message that Mandy is dead. Can you attend her funeral? As he stood by her grave in the cemetery, he turned to his friends and said, "If I die before Jesus comes, I want to be buried here beside Mandy. I want to think that on the resurrection day, she'll speak to me and say, Wake up, my boy. God's morning has come. And I hope that's the hope of every one of us here tonight. It's my desire for each one here that we must be ready at any moment. What if you're looking down the sniper's barrel, or he has sights on you, and in a second it's over, his life is completed? I appreciate the words of this song. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake up in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. I'm longing for that moment. Are you? Let's be sure we're ready. May God bless you.
Well, brother was talking about a topic most people don't want to hear about, death. Probably even a lot of Christians don't want to hear about it. He's right. Death can come at any moment. Death is no respecter of persons. Did you ever look at the obituary column and notice how many young people are dying? If you're a young person, you probably don't do that, but if you get up in years, you probably start looking at that and you'd be surprised. Most of those people, regardless of their age, of course, didn't expect to die that particular day, most of them. Some perhaps were expecting it, but most people probably not. And as we've heard recently in the news, a lot of tragedies can occur. The Marines that were killed recently, they didn't expect to die that day at the hands of a terrorist. I just heard about an accident, didn't happen around here. 4 people killed. A drunk driver ran through an intersection and ran into this vehicle, killed 4 people. They didn't expect to die that day either. The important thing, as our brother said, and he brought this out very well, is that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for whatever can happen. Anything can happen anytime to any of us. And he's right. The important thing is, are we ready to meet the Lord? Let's kneel in prayer.